And I only say that because today's title for the sermon, The Scariest Words in the Bible, comes from a man named Paul Washer. Paul Washer is the guy who wrote the Bible study that some of us are doing. He's a no-nonsense guy. His ministry is actually down in Peru. He was a missionary first and a pastor second, but he's a disciple of John MacArthur, which explains why he's no-nonsense kind of pastor. But today we're going to learn the scariest words in the Bible. And by the way, when I was talking at the volleyball game yesterday, I asked Caroline if she knew what this was, and she said, I don't know, John 3:16, which is interesting about how, see, people that are heavenly-minded think things like that, and people that are earthly-minded, stuff like that doesn't even come to their brains. And I put this on Facebook, what it was going to be, and there were all kind of guesses of what it was going to be. Some guy wrote, Eric, you showed up at the wrong gates. People were guessing things like that, and Caroline was actually pretty close. So when I tell you the scariest words in the Bible, they're not going to sound scary. You're not even going to think that they are scary. Nonetheless, anybody know Julia? Anybody want to guess what the scariest words in the Bible are? What are they? That was several people's guesses. Several people guessed that. Can you put the first slide up, Zach? There it is. Scariest teaching in the Bible. God is good. Pretty scary, huh? Yeah, here they are. God is good. Now, why in the world is that scary? That's scary because we aren't. And there's a big disconnect there. Non-good, us, can never stand in the presence of good, God. So there's a problem here, problem that has to be dealt with. These will come pretty quickly in succession, Zach. Luke 18:19, poor Zach, I really loaded him down with pictures and slides and all kind of stuff this week. Thank you, Zach. And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." Now listen, people use this verse to say that Jesus is saying he's not God, only God the Father is good. It's not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is asking, do you know what you're saying? You call me good, do you recognize that I am God? He's asking them, do you recognize that? Do you realize who you're talking to? Because if you did, your statement is accurate. And if you don't, then your statement is inaccurate. Matthew 19, 17a. "Why ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good." Who's that? God. And so there's a whole bunch of other verses we could look at to bring this point home. But see, there's another side to that coin. When we turn that coin over, we go from God is good to us. Romans 3:12. "All have turned aside together, they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one." How many people do good? Ecclesiastes 7:20. "Surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins." How many people in here never sin? John 1:8. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." Listen, he's talking to believers here. He's not talking to those outside the church. He's talking to believers. If we say that we don't sin, the truth is not in us. So now let's see where the problem comes in. Okay, God good, us not. Okay, Habakkuk 1:13. "Your eyes, God, are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing." Okay, here's us and all our wrongdoing, and here's God who's good. God cannot look upon sin. There's a big problem, isn't there? So if God is good and we're not good, it's a huge problem for man, because a good God cannot overlook or tolerate sin. You see why God is good has become a problem? If God is good, he has to punish evil. And he has to punish sin. If he doesn't, he's not good. We want God to be good. But we want God to be good in the image that we make him. We want him to be good in the way that we understand. We want God to say, it's okay, I'll overlook that. You're not as bad as the rest. It's not how God is. Again, a warning for the younger people in the audience. Zach's going to put up a couple of mildly graphic pictures, okay? So you guys might not want to watch. You're welcome to. There's no gore or anything, but mildly graphic pictures. Zach, you bring up the first slide. Should God just overlook what these people did? What are we looking at here? Jews in World War II being rounded up by the Nazis. Should God just overlook what Hitler and Goebbels and Goering and Eichmann and all those guys did? Should he just overlook all that and let him into heaven? Next slide, Zach, please. What do you think? You think God should look down on that and say, eh, it's okay. I'm a good God. I'm not going to let anybody go to hell. What do you think? If God is good, he has to punish the people who did this. Otherwise, he's not good. Next slide, please, Zach. How about the people who did this? Now, they went, ran their planes into this building. We know they didn't repent. They didn't have time to. Should God allow them into heaven? See, we misconstrue. Aaliyah shaking your head no. Good job, Aaliyah. Next slide. How about this? This is a homeless person, and this girl is walking by and stealing his money. Should God just overlook that? Should you just say, eh, it's not so bad. You didn't put 60 million people into ovens, or 6 million people into ovens and kill 60 million in a war. It's not so bad. Should God let her into heaven if she doesn't repent? Okay, now you ready to see the problem? How about if you stole a pencil from work? How about if you stole a roll of toilet paper or a lollipop from the store? Listen, the crime is the same. Only the value of the object is different, but it's still stealing. The value of the object is of no consequence. It's still stealing. If God is good, then we, his creation, have to be held accountable for our sins. It's not just the big ones, not just the ones we've tried to excuse away, all of our sins. It is written, the wages of sin, the penalty for sin, the cost of sin, the payment for sin is death. I, Brian A. Potts, am guilty of sin against the living God. I'm guilty. There's no way around it. What should my punishment be? Heaven or hell? Now listen, if God's good, there's only one thing God could do with Brian. Hell. Why? Because I stole a pencil? Gossiped about somebody? Those are pretty minor offenses, right? Don't you think? Pretty minor. Right? Listen, what are we going to do when we stand before God? You know, you aren't as bad as some people. You've never killed anybody, never murdered anyone, never raped anyone, don't spend your days looking at pornography. But listen, it's not a good, better, best system. God doesn't rank sin according to, well, murder's up here, and then rape's down here, and then child abuse, and then we get all the way down here to Brian who stole a roll of film from somebody he worked for 100 years ago. God doesn't rank sin like that. Sin is sin, and a holy God, as we've already seen, cannot stand to look on sin, period. Sin is sin to God. If you don't believe me, we're going to go through a list here. You'll recognize it as soon as Zach puts it up. Can you put that up, Zach? What do we call this? Okay, let's go through this quickly. Okay. Number one, you must have no other God but me. Oh, we'll get back to that. Number two, you shall not make for yourself an idol. Now listen, it says carved images, things like that. So people go to extreme, both ends of the extreme here. You can't hang paintings of Jesus in your house. You can't, you know, it's not what it says. It says you must not bow down to them and worship them. You don't have them hanging in your house, so you could go to the altar. Listen, I did probably 200 Catholic weddings, not picking on the Catholics. But at every single one of those weddings, the bride and groom would go to the statue of Mary, lay flowers at her feet, and then bow and pray to her. That's what this verse is talking about. How about number three? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Listen, this is the only one that comes with a warning, young people. This is the only one that comes with a warning. For God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. You ever say OMG or write OMG? Listen, that's taking God's name in vain. Do you ever say holy whatever? Holy cow, holy whatever. Listen, the Bible says God alone is holy. So whatever follows that word, you're calling God that word. Four, how about this one? Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We'll get back to that in a couple of seconds too. Number five, honor your father and your mother. Anybody in here not argue with their parents? Not get mad at their parents? Not storm out of the house, slam doors? Aaliyah's looking at her mom and laughing. Number six, you shall not murder. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. Anybody ever hated anybody? Ever? I have. Been down that road. You shall not commit adultery. Ever look at images on the computer you shouldn't be looking at? Listen, Jesus said that if you look at a woman with lust, and it works both ways, a man with lust, that's adultery. Jesus said that. Number eight, you shall not steal. Note it doesn't say, unless it's something small. It doesn't say, you know, unless it's just a pencil or something that nobody's ever going to miss. It says, thou shalt not steal. You know that shoplifters cost every person in this room, man, woman, and child, $430 a year. Every one of us. What could you do with an extra $430? Number nine, you must not testify falsely against your neighbor. You ever gossip? I have. You shall not covet. What's that mean? It means you shouldn't want something that doesn't belong to you so bad that it consumes you. Okay? Ever been there? How many of us, based on what we've just learned, have never murdered anyone? Listen, Jesus said if you hate somebody, you've murdered them. So how many people in here have never committed murder, according to Christ? How many have never lied, gossiped, always obeyed your parents, never taken God's name in vain? You starting to see why God is good is not such a good thing for us? So here's the truth. Let's say that the only thing you did on this entire list was to gossip about somebody, okay? No big deal, right? Hey, at least I never murdered anybody, right? Here's your problem. James 1:10. Whoever breaks one commandment is guilty of breaking them all. So if all you did on that list was to gossip, you're still guilty of breaking the other nine. God said so. See how God sees sin? There's no pecking order. There's no get out of hell free cards. There's no justification for our sin. None. Stealing a pen, as you can see from our list, is the same as committing murder. Talking about someone is the same as committing adultery. You see why God is good is the scariest thing in the Bible? Because he has to punish all that stuff if he is God. He has to. And listen, don't be getting down on yourselves. There's not a person in this room that hasn't done all this stuff. Okay? God has to punish sin. My sin, your sin. I'm guilty. You're guilty. Until people understand this, people have no reason to come to church. People have no reason to get right with God. They get around thinking this stuff. I'm not as bad as that person. I never killed anybody. I'm not Adolf Hitler, by the way. I'm not that bad. Listen, we all fall short. We all fall short. Listen, guys, we don't measure up. Plain and simple. And you know who the most guilty person in the world is? It's me. I'm the most guilty person in the world. Man, I used to, Scott probably remembers some of this, my friend Scott. This is my friend Scott, by the way. I used to cuss God's name every day. We'd be playing basketball, and every word out of my mouth would be F followed by the Lord's name. That was me. Listen, you ready? Ever taken a break at work that wasn't yours? Ever say, yeah, I'm just going to go rest behind here or in the back room for 10 minutes? That's stealing. You're stealing from your boss. They're paying you to work 8 hours. You know who's guilty of all this stuff? Me. Everything that was on that list of 10 commandments, I've broken. Ever looked at a person with lust? I have. I'm guilty. Ever been disrespectful to your parents? Now, I can say this pretty honestly. Caitlin is never disrespectful to her parents. But I had this girlfriend, Tammy. You remember Tammy, Scott? Had this girlfriend. And I knew she was cheating on me. I knew she was cheating on me with one of my friends, not Scott. And I knew she was over at his apartment. And I had on this Jesus shirt. I still remember this. And I got a knife. And I'm going to go over to this guy's apartment and I'm going to take care of some things and make sure this guy never teaches anybody again. And I can still hear my mom saying this. Like, she's standing right there. She's been gone for over 20 years now. And I can still hear her saying this, okay? You do not deserve to wear that shirt. But I didn't care. Listen, young people, you know what the worst emotion of all is? The worst one is jealousy. It makes you do stupid, crazy things that you wouldn't normally do. So I got that knife, and I walked out of the house, and they were over in Wheeling. I was in Shadyside. It was about a 15-minute drive. And I went over to that house. I was going to take care of things, leaving my mom and dad behind, worried sick. Now, was that honoring my mother and father? By the way, I didn't do anything. I just knocked on the door, broke up with him. Broke up with her. Never talked to him again. But that, young people, is what jealousy will cause you to do. Just irrational stuff. Point is, I broke that commandment too. Okay, let me ask you this. Who stays home and rests on Saturday? Listen, here's what I hear all the time. Look around. Here's what I hear all the time. Sunday is my only day to sleep in. Really? What about Saturday? What'd you do all day Saturday? If Sunday's your only day to sleep in and you don't come to church, then you're breaking two commandments. First, you're working all day Saturday, breaking the keep the Sabbath day holy commandment. And second, your body has become your God. I'm tired. I'm going to obey my body. It wants to sleep some more. That has now become your God instead of God. The Bible says you will have no other gods except me. See how easy it is to make other gods? It's easy. You really think the God of the universe is going to accept that excuse? I was tired on Sunday, God. It was the only day I could sleep in. Oh, really? It is written, you shall remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy throughout your generations. Going to church, by the way, is a command. Hebrews 3:23, let us not neglect meeting together. That's coming together in corporate worship, church, as some have made a habit. Going to church is a command from God if you're a believer. Listen, and if you break that one, you break them all. God said so. Listen, this is important. Neither you or me can live one day without breaking most of those commandments, maybe all of them. We can't do it. The scariest words in the Bible for unrepentant sinners is God is good, because he has to punish their sin. God is going to send his wrath. And listen, here's the thing. Jesus said that way more people were on this road over here, dwelling in their sin and thinking they're okay. He's talking to believers in these verses. They're thinking, I'm not that bad. I never raped anybody. Way more people are on this road than the people over here that really get it, that are on the road to heaven. God has to judge people and send them to hell. But listen, each person has that choice. You want to be on that road, or do you want to be on this road? It's an individual's choice. God left that up to us. Listen, because God is good, he gave each of us a choice. Here's the other side of that coin for us. He gave each of us a chance to go to heaven. It's called grace. Unmerited, undeserved pardon from God. Because our sin is so great, the payment had to be equal to or greater than our sin. Had to be. Or we would have no hope. Commit a crime, go to jail. There's a cost to be paid. Sin against God, go to hell. There's a cost to be paid. But listen, sometimes you can avoid jail time. Sometimes you commit a minor offense and the judge says you can just spend 10 days in jail or pay a $1,000 fine. Sometimes you have a choice. You can pay that fine. Just like you can escape hell by the payment of a fine. Listen, we couldn't afford that payment. We couldn't afford it. The price we couldn't afford was paid by someone who never broke any of those commandments, any of them. All God the Father had to do, because God is good, was to look on his Son as he cried out in anguished sobs, in unimaginable terror, as the sweat fell like blood. All God the Father had to do, because he is good and desires that no one perishes, is to watch mouths that he created spit on his Son. All God had to do, because he is good, is to watch the hands that he created tear the beard from Jesus' face. All God had to do, because God is good, is to watch his Son's heart break into 1,000 pieces while every friend he ever knew ran away in embarrassment. All God had to do, because God is good, is to watch normal Roman faces contort into demonic faces as whips came down and they tore the flesh from his Son's back. All God had to do, because God is good, is to watch 2-inch-long thorns break as they went through the skin and pounded against the skull of his Son. All God had to do, because God is good, is to watch his Son with eyes swollen shut due to the beatings he took, try to carry a heavy beam that no normal person could carry. All the Father had to do, because God is good, is to watch nails 6-inch in length drive through his Son's skin and muscle and nerve endings and bone. All the Father had to do, because God is good, is to turn his back on his Son as Jesus cried out, "Daddy, don't turn away! Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Picture your children doing that. You turn away from them. Say, I'm done with you. What's going through their hearts? What's going through their minds? And the father answered back, I had to turn away, son, because we're good. I'm good. And good always wins. We just had to be greater than their sin. God is good. Statement's horror and terrifying to the unsaved. But to those who choose Jesus, they're the greatest words in the world. God is good. And so he made a way for us to be covered from that sin. He made a way for us to escape the penalty of that sin. He pushed all that aside, never to throw it up in your face again. His words. Listen, you could choose hell or you could choose heaven. God is good either way. Doesn't matter what we choose, God is good. So you want to face a God who is good? And because of his very nature of being good, he has to punish you? Or do you want to face the God who is so good that he allowed his son to die in our place so that we never have to die? That choice is every person's in this room to make. I love you guys.